So that's what y'all did in Sunday school. Y'all ate brownies this morning. Learned about. Yeah. That's in 1 Samuel too. That's interesting. All right. Oh, good. Another cup of water. Good deal. I may have to go to the bathroom before too long here. 1 Samuel. I heard the teens are doing 1 Samuel. Are you guys doing 1 Samuel too? Oh, man. Well. All right, 1 Samuel, chapter 1. 1 Samuel is a great book like any book in the Bible, but really to record the nation of Israel and their turning around and what happened under Samuel, and of course then King Saul shows up, and that's not very good, but ultimately David gets anointed king. We're just going to go through 1 Samuel chapter 1 this morning, and we'll hit some high points. This is the birth of Samuel, and it really just describes Samuel's mother, Hannah. And that's really where we're going to focus the attention, because Hannah is a special lady. She's a real special lady. And the chapter, again, it's about the birth of this preacher, Samuel. We'll see what led up to his birth, the conditions that Samuel's mom lived in. Samuel's his ministry is one of the highlights in the history of Israel. But if you remember anything about the state of the nation when Samuel's born, at the end of the book of Judges, the Bible said that there's no king in Israel, and so every man just does that which is right in his own eyes. He just kind of makes things up as he goes, whatever he feels like is right, he just does that. And it's really, sorry if I'm picking my teeth while I'm doing this. Still working on that brownie. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so he just kind of, you know, did whatever they thought was right, and no particular guidance. And so this is the situation that Samuel's born into. And look in verse 1. We'll start there. The Bible says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim." How'd you like to be on that football team? Ramathaim Zophim, go, go, go. Sprinkle spirit. it's hard to put that name on a shirt. There's a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. That's going to be the problem. Hannah has no children. She wants a child. And she doesn't just want a child. She wants a child to raise for the Lord. There's a difference. Hannah's a good woman. Verse 3, "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there." You're going to learn more about Hophni and Phinehas as time goes on in the book of Samuel. These guys aren't good guys. And they're the priests in the son of Eli, sons of Eli, and they're just not good folks, but they are the priests nevertheless. And so the situation that Hannah finds herself in, the family is, it's dysfunctional. You got two wives. You got, I imagine meals are pretty difficult, and so Hannah has no children. The other wife, Peninnah, has children, and they go up every year and they do this sacrifice. Now, the prescription for Israel was multiple times a year they go up and do sacrifices. But according to Judges and according to the time period, according to what's going on, again, every man's just doing that which is right in his own eyes, just making it up as he goes. So these folks go up to Shiloh, where Eli and Hophni and Phinehas are conducting the administration of the temple there, or tabernacle there. And verse 4, the Bible says, "And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah's wife and all her sons and her daughters. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb." So you got one wife making fun of another wife and just berating Hannah because she can't have children and she has no children. Verse 7. "And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." All right, I'm going to stop there and just give you a little rundown of all the situation. So Hannah has a very, very difficult situation. So a lot of things she can't control. She can't have children. This other wife, Peninnah, just makes fun of her and berates her. And no less, she does it while they're going to church. You know, they're going up to sacrifice. You remember that in verse 7. They're going up to sacrifice, and Peninnah is over there just berating Hannah and belittling Hannah and just making her feel like nothing and worthless. And they're doing this right before they go to church. I mean, that's about... I know nobody ever does this. You never wake up on a Sunday morning grouchy and bickering at each other. I know you put a smile on your face, and in the car ride over here, one's happy and joyful, and what a blessing to be at church and all that kind of stuff. Y'all are all laughing. I mean, you know that's not how it works. So this is what happens. This is what happens. They're on their way to sacrifice. Go to the tabernacle and sacrifice, and Peninnah is just like laying it on Hannah about what a terrible person she is, and she's worthless, she can't produce children, and all that kind of stuff. So Hannah is just a broken soul. I mean, she is beat down, and she's got this bitter adversary, and there's nothing that will satisfy Hannah's desire to have children other than children. I mean, there's nothing to satisfy that. And on top of that, this other wife here just ridicules her for infertility. I mean, the whole situation is just pretty bad for Hannah. On top of that, you know, they're all eating a meal together in verse 8. But Hannah does something that is really of good character. In spite of all of what's going on, the situation she's in, and the ridicule and all this stuff, the next few verses describe how Hannah just takes the stuff to the Lord. She's not going to fight it out with Peninnah or anything like that. She does the right thing, and she takes the stuff to the Lord. Look in verse 8. "Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh." Again, I imagine that's a pretty awkward meal there. "And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was," that's Hannah, "she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore." So Hannah is she is a burdened soul. Several things in her life that she just can't do anything about. The desire to have children is natural, it's normal, and she can't make that happen. She can't force that to happen. She can't do anything particular about that. And on top of that, she's got this. I don't know what relationship that would be. It's just another wife, not a in-law, or I don't know if that's in-law or what that would be, but anyhow, she's just berating her and putting her down. But Hannah handles this like it ought to be handled. She takes it to the Lord in verse 10. The Bible says she's in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. That's the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. And she puts this thing in the Lord's hands. Now, this is not going to be, you're going to find out in this chapter, Hannah's not just saying prayers or saying words to manipulate God. She means what she says. And she really does have a heart for the Lord, and she really does want, she wants the Lord's blessing on her life, and she wants a child. But she doesn't just want to have children. She wants to have a child that she can use to serve the Lord, or have served the Lord, I guess is how you'd say it. She wants to have a child that's going to serve the Lord. And you understand, there's two different things here. It's one thing to just have a desire to have a kid. I want to have a kid. Hannah doesn't just want to have a kid. Hannah wants to have a kid that's going to serve the Lord. That's a different thing. So she takes this to the Lord. She prays. She begs God. And this is what she says in verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So she's making the Nazarite vow for Samuel. She's saying, that's part of a Nazarite vow where the Nazarite, in the time that they're committing certain things to the Lord, parts of their life to the Lord, they don't cut their hair, they stay away from grapes and all that kind of stuff. And so Hannah makes the Nazarite vow for Samuel, even though Samuel's not born yet. And it's not just a bargaining. Jacob bargained with God. Jacob tried to bargain with God. He would say, if you'll give me this, then I'll give you this. If you'll protect me, then I'll give you this, Lord. And if you'll give me back all this, then I'll give you this. What Hannah says here, she means. Because when the Lord gives her a son, she does exactly what she just said she's going to do. And I imagine that's the hardest decision she ever made in her life. We'll get to that in a minute. In verse 12, it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Eli is the high priest there. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Let me make a little comment here. I know we're not into 1 Samuel too much. But the way Eli handles this is pretty interesting, considering the way he doesn't handle his own children. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are committing adultery in the tabernacle. They are bribing people. They are taking bribes. They are just desecrating the tabernacle. And Eli won't do anything about it. But he finds this poor lady who is begging God for help, and he jumps on her about being drunk in the temple. Well, his boys are always drunk in the temple. You know what? It just shows, we've said it before, we treat our family one way that we won't treat other people. And that's expected, but here's the principle that's always at work in probably all of our lives. When it comes to the things of the Bible, when it comes to what God said, you'll find you're going to have a hard time taking that instruction from God when it deals with your own children. The phrase is, blood is always thicker than the Bible. It's God can say whatever he wants, but when it comes down to my child, I'm going to treat my child the way I want to treat my child. That's the way people are. That's the way Eli is. He's willing to jump on Hannah. I know we're not too far into this. You'll see a little more about Eli's life and his kids' life in a little bit. Next week, couple weeks, whatever. But he's willing to get on to Hannah because he thinks she might be drunk. Whereas his own boys, he won't deal with them. He won't put his foot down. He won't deal with them and address things that need to be addressed. So he's got this double standard. And you got to be, I say, you got to be aware of that kind of stuff. Because there are times in our lives where God's going to say something about my family relationship, your family relationship, and it's going to run contrary to that bloodline, and either the blood's going to be thicker than the Bible, or you're not going to let God just deal with things the way he needs to deal with them. But I think you'll find most times, this is why you got to be aware of it, most times when it comes to family matters, they take a front seat to whatever God said. Whatever God said, I can take a back seat to how I'm going to handle this with my own family. And I say that so you can be aware of it, because it comes up and it happens. And we have double standards for how we're going to treat some people and how we're not going to treat other people, and how we're going to apply the words of God in our life versus how we're going to apply the words of God to your life. And that's the way we all are. It's the way our flesh is. So you ought to be aware of it. Eli does this, and he gets on to Hannah. And Hannah explains she's not drunk. That's not in her character. She doesn't do that. She's begging God for a child that she can then in turn give to the Lord so he can use this son to do something with. And Eli says this at the end of all of that. Eli says, verse 17, Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Now watch what Hannah does. This is perfect. Absolutely perfect. And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. You know what she did? She prayed about it. And she let the Lord handle it. And she went away. She ate a meal. She wasn't depressed about it anymore. She wasn't sad about it. I'm sure she thought about it. But that wasn't going to dictate her life. Her prayers to Almighty God were going to dictate how her feelings would follow. So she lays it all out before the Lord, begs God for help, and then walks away from the altar and says, "All right, Lord, you handle it." I mean, really, what can you do, though? She can't give herself a child. She can't make that happen. So in retrospect, to carry around that burden, and it's easy to say. I mean, it's easy to say up here. I'm not carrying around that burden right now. That's easy to say. But in retrospect, really carrying around that burden, how is that going to help her? So she prays. She gives it to the Lord. "Lord, That's what I want. Just that's what I want. That's what I want." And she does this in spite of an adversary within the home. She does that in spite of the condition she's living in, all that kind of stuff. She gives it to the Lord, and then she just goes away. And it's great how verse 18 ends. She did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So she just left her problems there. Just left them there. "Here you are, Lord." You know what? That's faithful prayer. That means, "Lord, I'm going to ask you for something. I'm going to give this thing to you, and I'm not going to take it back. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, cast thy care," all that kind of stuff. "I'm going to give it to you, and in giving it to you, that means I'm not going to carry it around anymore. I'm not going to hang on to this." So she goes away. She's happy. She's at least unburdened. She's left her burden there. Then verse 19, and the Lord is going to hear what Hannah says. Verse 19, And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah's wife, and the Lord remembered her. That she's the kind of person the Lord would remember. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. She says, this boy is a direct result of a prayer. Meaning, the things that Samuel is going to do in Israel and affect Israel with, think about it, are the direct result of her prayer. She asked God for a boy that she can give to the Lord. The Lord hears that prayer, remembers that prayer, and answers that prayer. And now you got Samuel. And he's going to be a highlight in Israel's history. Quite a highlight. Verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. So prayer changes things, you could say that. Samuel wouldn't be born if there was no prayer. Verse 21, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. What a decision. I mean, I can't relate, and I feel inept to even try to preach something like this, because I can't relate to it in any way. Maybe some of you ladies can relate to it. She begs God for a child. God answers that prayer, and for the first couple years, I don't know how long, until she weans him, first couple years maybe of his life, she knows once he's weaned, I'm not going to see him anymore. I mean, I'll see him once a year, but I'm going to give him to the Lord. I imagine that hurt her, but it also maybe inspired, maybe encouraged her that the Lord had answered her prayer and said, yeah, you're going to have a son. And he answered her prayer. So she sits at home. She weans Samuel. He's a blessing. He's a direct answer to her prayer. He's a great type. I'll just mention this. But Samuel he's a great type of Jesus Christ. Because the birth of Samuel relieves her burden. And he's also going to relieve the burden of the nation. Samuel's going to go around preaching. And his preaching is going to inspire. It's going to motivate. It's going to encourage the Israelites to fight for the Lord, to serve the Lord, to obey the Lord. And so he's going to be a true blessing. And he is. He's a burden bearer. Verse 24, now here's Hannah's faith, and this stuff is, I can't relate. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. What a bold faith. What a tremendous amount of faith. Hannah, after a life of barrenness and begging God for a child, God answers that prayer. gives her a son, and within a couple of years after he's weaned, she takes him up to Shiloh, and she delivers him to the tabernacle, to Eli, to the priests there, Hophni and Phinehas, and she gives Samuel to the Lord. I can't imagine. Maybe you mothers could really imagine this, but having one child, there's no promise of other children that she's going to have. She has one child. And after struggling in her life to just have one child, she takes him after he's weaned up to that tabernacle and says, "Lord, you gave me this child. Now take him." Wow. It is one thing to appreciate the blessings of God, but it's another thing to take those blessings and say, "Lord, you gave me these blessings. Here you go. These blessings you've surrounded me with, these things I prayed for, here they are. Now, Lord, take them. Here you go." I mean, it is a tremendous, tremendous act of faith. She just disregards really all of her feelings about this. I imagine this was a very, very trying day in her life, and maybe a joyful occasion, a mixture of joy and sadness, and just where do the emotions go here? But she gives up Samuel. The Bible says she lends him to the Lord. "I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. This has to be, like I said, so hard for her. When I don't know what you're thinking when you read this. Some of you may be thinking when you read about what Hannah does with Samuel, "No way, there's no way I would ever take my child and just dedicate him like that to the Lord." And when we talk about dedicate, that means she's not raising him. He's going to be raised in the tabernacle. His whole life is going to be ministry. That's it. That's his life is going to be ministry, preaching. That's his life. Now, that may be too hard to even fathom, to think about. Like I said, there's no promise of more children. But Hannah is quite a faithful individual. And think about this as well. I know the second chapter is going to deal with a transition in the regime, so to speak. But Samuel's not being delivered up to a Christian, great upbringing. Samuel's going to be living in the tabernacle as a young child, learning the ministry as a young child, and he's living among adulterers. He's living with these guys that take bribes. And it is quite a testimony, and it will be quite a testimony. Just because you live in a certain situation doesn't mean you got to turn out terrible. Because you live in a certain way and surrounded by certain things, I understand you come back to maybe it's a bad household or whatever it is, the family relationship's messed up or whatever. You can't use that as an excuse your whole life. Eventually, you take responsibility. Samuel, from a very young boy, you're going to see it in 1 Samuel chapter 2. He is just going to plow ahead, learn the ministry, love God, and he's going to do it in the face of a terrible home situation. The people around him are fornicating. They got prostitutes. They got all kinds of stuff going on within the temple walls, taking bribes, stealing from people. And Samuel's going to grow up in that environment and become a tremendous, tremendous preacher. And he will affect the nation of Israel. So we'll see more about it in chapter 2. But just because you're raised a certain way, that doesn't mean you have to turn out terrible. Doesn't mean you have to do certain things. Well, just raised this way. Well, just you know, this is the environment I came from. I'm going to submit to you, Samuel's environment was horrible. And he grew up to be a great man of God. So back to Hannah real quick, and we'll finish it up here. Hannah is Samuel's mother. And God is going to honor Hannah's prayer. And Samuel is going to be the direct result of a mother's prayer. He is a man that will change the nation, a highlight in Israel's history, and the direct result of Hannah's prayer. Now, the implication is this, on the other side of it. If Hannah doesn't pray, if Hannah doesn't beg the Lord for a son, if Hannah is content with her life, there's never a Samuel. But because Hannah loves the Lord so much and is willing to sacrifice so much for the Lord, really sacrificing what he's given her, and we could all say that, whatever you sacrifice, you were able to get from the Lord anyway. Whether it's because you have a mental capacity to work for it, whether you have the physical ability to work for it, because you can have the physical ability and not have the mental ability, and not be able to make a living for your family, or you can have a mental capacity but no physical ability. What I'm saying is, it's time to recognize things you and I have, we got because God allowed us to have them. And anything we give to God is stuff that he just allowed us to have. We aren't giving him any big thing or impressing him with our gifts. And that's why we could say, you know, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to righteousness, our works don't make really any difference, because the Lord equips you and I to do whatever it is we do anyway. And so whatever we give back to him is just something he's already given us. So Hannah, she prays, she gets her prayer answered, Samuel's born, and in a tremendous act of faith, putting her feelings aside, she takes Samuel after he's weaned, she offers him up to a terrible environment, but to serve the Lord. And the Lord's going to honor that. And he's going to take that little boy and he's going to grow him up. And that little boy is going to become a man and a preacher and a highlight in the nation of Israel's history. So Hannah is quite an impressive lady. And Samuel's going to be quite an impressive man. But there is no Samuel without a Hannah. There's no Samuel without a Hannah. There's no preacher like Samuel without a praying mother like Hannah, without the faithful sacrifice of Hannah. And so in chapter 1 with that, and I guess a couple of things, a couple of applications. Prayer, in light of all her bitterness, in light of all the family trouble in there, Hannah takes her concern to the Lord. She leaves it with the Lord, and the Lord hears her prayer, and he answers her. And with that blessing, that young boy, after he's weaned, she takes him up to the temple, and Lord, you bless me with him, now he's yours. And he will change the face of the nation in Israel. But that's Hannah, and that's Samuel's mother. And we'll deal with some things next week about we'll see about the transition and what's going on in Eli and Hophni and Phinehas's life. But I want you to reflect on Hannah. She is quite a lady. She is quite a lady. But let's do this. Let's pray. And I tell you what, we'll just be dismissed today. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I pray it's been helpful.